What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the First Team All-Pro Podcast. This is episode 72 with your host, LT Nasty. We are back. Yes, I know it's been a long almost 3 months since the last episode of the podcast. I apologize. I've been really busy lately, and I haven't been able to get around to it. You know, it's funny, prior to the NFL season starting, I was planning on making this episode about the MLB trade deadline. I was going to talk about the aftermath of that, the aftermath of the MLB trade deadline. And I was also going to talk about all the big free agent signings in the NHL. But now that NFL season is back, now that football is back, I think we gotta do our week one and week two recaps. It's crazy. We're already at week three already. And on top of that, we're also going to get into the first matchup of week three that took place last night. And that was the New York Giants versus the San Francisco 49ers. So we'll get into all that in a minute. But yeah, it's been a long, long, basically 3 months. Once again, I apologize for not posting as frequently or not recording and posting as frequently. I've been very busy. But yeah, we are back and football is back. So let's get right into it. Let's start with week one. Well, week one was pretty good. Week one was pretty good. Majority of the teams that played had pretty good matchups. But, you know, as a Giants fan, that game sucked. The Giants-Cowboys game, that sucked. I mean, I had to turn the game off at half. I just could not watch it. I could not watch the rest of that game. And I don't blame anyone else who turned the game off at half. Because, that, like I said, that game sucked. The only people that were having fun during that Giants-Cowboys game were Cowboys fans. That's it. And honestly, I feel bad for the Giants fans that decided to go to that game. Like, that must have been hell. That must have been hell. No way could I sit through that torture for all four quarters. Because that's what it was. That's what it was. The Giants-Cowboys game, that was torture for four quarters. The Giants O-line, they did nothing. Did absolutely nothing. Did not give Daniel Jones any time in the pocket. And, you know, it also doesn't help that the Giants O-line is trying to block Micah Parsons, Trayvon Diggs, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence. And it just didn't go well. It just did not go well. And, yeah, I mean, like, the Cowboys have an insane defense. Like, everyone knew this already. So this was already going to be a lopsided battle. But Jesus, like 40-0, like what is going on? Yeah, but yeah, Giants O-line didn't do shit. The offense, when they did have somewhat decent drives going, it usually ended in either a 3-and-out or a turnover. Yeah, that's basically how you can put it. It was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. And the thing is, the Cowboys offense didn't even really need to do much, because their defense basically did the majority of the damage. It was just not good for the Giants. It was really embarrassing. You know, and you know, I've seen a lot of bad Giants games in my day, but this is hands down probably the worst one. The worst one I've ever seen. It's not even just that they lost to the Cowboys. It's the fact they lost to the Cowboys. They got shut out by the Cowboys. And this happened at home. This happened at MetLife Stadium. That alone is a complete embarrassment. To get shut out at home by the Cowboys. Like, figure it out. And then this is where it gets better. Week two, before I move on to the, some of the other headlines and highlights from weeks one and two, let's go to the Giants week two matchup against the Cardinals. The Giants were getting their asses kicked in that first half. Let's not sugarcoat it. They were getting their asses kicked in that first half against Arizona. It was bad. I mean, the defense was, nowhere to be seen. That entire first half. I mean, seriously, they were getting their asses kicked by a Josh Dobbs-led Cardinals team. Seriously. It's not like the Cardinals didn't have Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray wasn't starting. He wasn't, the starting quarterback. It was Josh Dobbs. And just the fact that the Giants were getting torn to pieces in the first half by Josh Dobbs, That's problematic. Adjustments need to come on the defense, and especially the offense at times, because you just, through that first half, they were getting outscored. When they didn't put up any points on the board, at one point they were getting outscored 60-0 through the first 2 weeks of the season. That was, of course, up until the major comeback in the second half, but that first half, not good. But anyway, in that second half, the Giants came all the way back and won. Daniel Jones performed well in that second half against the Cardinals. Saquon performed incredibly well against the Cardinals. Defense made big plays, but in my opinion, that's a game the Giants probably should have won easily. Before the Cardinals were this, and I say this being from the fact that, again, the Cardinals did not have Kyler Murray. The Giants should have won easily. And I say this, heading into that game as the game was about to start. I'm like, the Giants should be able to make light work. This should be light work for the Giants. But, of course, the complete opposite happened. They nearly made my life a living hell. But, anyway, moving right along, let's go to the other major headlines and news from week one, and headlines and highlights from weeks one and two. The Jets, they cannot catch a break, man. Like, the Jets, I'm convinced the Jets are cursed. And, they won against Buffalo in week one, which in overtime on a kick return, which was incredible, by the way. That game was insane. Like, it was pretty wild. Anyone that watched that game, you know how good that game was. It doesn't have to do with all that. It has to do with the fact that their starting quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, the guy they acquired from Green Bay. He got hurt. Like, I think it was the first drive of the game. It was one of those first few drives of the game, and he went down. Yeah. And now he is out for the season. I mean, you just can't make this shit up. You really can't. You really cannot. The Jets are cursed. I'm convinced. And then, of course, the Jets ended up getting their ass kicked by Dallas the following week. The Jets, man. I mean, I honestly really do feel bad for Jets fans because they had a lot of optimism coming into the season, especially with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. And now they're going to have to see Zach Wilson for the rest of the season, unless they go out and either sign another quarterback or make another trade. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see that happening. I just do not see that happening. And if that's the case, it's going to be a long season for the Jets. And it's not like their defense is bad. Their defense isn't bad at all, in my honest opinion. They have a lot of talented guys on that defense. Obviously, they got Sauce Gardner, the defensive rookie of the year last year. And they got a lot of other talented guys. So who knows? I think the big question is going to come from the offense. Like, how are they going to adjust to, you know, not having Aaron Rodgers? And, week two gave us a spoiler that they didn't handle that well because they got their ass kicked by the Cowboys. I mean, yeah. But that, I don't think anyone had that game being competitive. Like, yeah, maybe the Jets defense could have kept it a little bit competitive, but the offense just, they were not doing anything. I mean, that Cowboys defense, they are suffocating. Like, their pass rush is insane. And their secondary is insane. You know, with the likes of Trayvon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore. Yeah, just insane. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, I believe he tore his Achilles. Just want to double check on that. Sorry if I double check on this. If I, you know, go back and forth double checking. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, complete tear of his left Achilles tendon. I mean, again, that's absolutely brutal. That is just brutal. And the sad part is everyone has been getting injured these first 2 weeks. J.K. Dobbins, he's out for the season. And now, more recently, Nick Chubb, who, if anyone watched that Steelers-Browns game, you know, and you saw that injury, you saw Nick Chubb's injury. I just couldn't. And then, if you did not see Nick Chubb's injury, honestly, you know, I wouldn't. That's just me. It's disturbing. It is quite disturbing. And I'm just going to leave it at that. If you are listening to this and you are just so happen to go find a video of the injury, this is your warning right now. This is your warning, because it is very disturbing. But like I said, if you didn't see it, I highly recommend you don't. It really is just, it's not good. It's not good at all. But again, it was rough. Honestly, watching the rest of the game after that was tough. Like, it was really tough after, seeing that injury. Now, it wasn't on TV. They didn't show it on, the TV, which is good. I agree with that decision not to show it because it was gruesome. But of course the video, you know, ended up, you know, the video's on Twitter or X as you know, people call it now, but I'm not calling it X. I'm still calling it Twitter. But yeah, not good. It was ugly. It was really ugly. But yeah, that video swirling around on Twitter. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a good decision not to show the replay of that injury on national television. Just, I don't think anyone could have handled seeing that. But yeah, so that being said, yeah, a lot of injuries picking up. Like I said, Aaron Rodgers out for the year, Nick Chubb out for the year, J.K. Dobbins out for the year, and then Saquon, yeah, as a Giants fan, yeah, that one stings because he quite literally is a major component of the offense. He's a major component of the Giants offense, and seeing him go down, yeah, I was losing it. It was not fun. Like, yeah, the Giants won their week two matchup, but at what cost? The team lost its star running back. Just not fun. It was a bittersweet week too. It's like, yeah, the Giants got the win, but now the star running back's out. Like, God damn it. And then those aren't the only injuries either. I was, you know, going back a little bit, going back to talking about the Cowboys secondary, you know, when I mentioned, you know, the Cowboys defense, and I mentioned Trayvon Diggs. Well, now he's out. Excuse me. Probably shouldn't have just coughed in the microphone. That's bad. But you know how I mentioned, you know, that elite Dallas defense with, you know, guys like DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, and Trayvon Diggs. Well, now Trayvon Diggs is out for the year. Torn ACL. This is just nuts. This is just nuts how many players are getting injured. And we're only two weeks into the season. Well, after last night, technically 3 weeks into the season. Well, obviously we still gotta wait for the rest of the week three matchups on Sunday. But yeah, like everyone's getting hurt. Like, it sucks. Like, it genuinely sucks. Like, everyone's getting hurt left and right. Star players are getting hurt left and right. No one wants to see that. No one wants to see that happen. And, you know, the thing is, this is probably going to keep happening, like, all year. It is going to keep happening all year. Because, you know, football is a very, very physical sport. It's a very physical sport. So, but yeah, Trayvon Diggs out for the year on a with a torn ACL. I mean, it's crazy how many players have gotten hurt within this early into the season. Anyway, yeah. Let's move it right along. Let's talk about some of the big surprises of week you know, of weeks one and two. This is going to be a, you know, like I said, a joint episode. So the big surprises. The Lions beat the Chiefs in week one. That is probably the biggest surprise of week one, without a doubt. I mean, I don't think anyone really expected that game to be as competitive as it was. I'm going to be honest, I didn't either. I know the Lions are on the up and up. They are improving. But I did not expect them to really keep it a close game against Kansas City, let alone win it. But they did. When it also helps that Kansas City didn't have Chris Jones. It also helps because, you know, he was holding out for a bit. But yeah. Yeah, the Lions beating the Chiefs in week one by 1 point. That is the biggest surprise of the week, in my opinion. Actually, that's probably up there. There's actually a few more. There's actually like two more surprises I could add to this. The Browns beating the Bengals 24-3 in week one. Yeah. I don't think anyone expected the Browns to beat the Bengals, like, at all. And I'm sorry, if you told me that you said, like, if you were to say that the Browns are going to beat the Bengals, I would say you're a liar. Like, I would say you're a liar. But, they blew the Bengals out of the water in week one. Anyway, moving right along, some other big surprises. Let's see. I don't know if we got any more surprises from week one. This really wasn't a surprise, but more of a performance. This was just Tyreek Hill in week one went off against this was against the Chargers, and he had 11 receptions, 215 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Just absurd. Just absolutely absurd. Just Tyreek Hill is built different. Like, he, and you know, this is why he's, you know, one of the best receivers in the game, because he can do stuff like that. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, who's throwing to him. Like, he can make it happen. Like, Tyreek Hill can make it happen, regardless of who's the quarterback. Yeah. And speaking of the Dolphins for a minute, Tua's been playing well the first 2 weeks, which is great to see, considering, you know, last year, the injury. You know, it's good to see him be able to, it's good to see him ball out these first couple of weeks. You know, hopefully he keeps it going. You know, as you know, rest of the season unfolds. But anyway, week one, we have one more, going back to the biggest surprises of week one, we got one more big surprise. The Eagles barely beating the New England Patriots. Now, don't get me wrong, the New England Patriots have a solid defense, but man, the Eagles nearly choked that one. They nearly choked that one. I'm sorry, but like, that they escaped. They escaped Foxborough with a win. Yeah, I mean, I thought this was another one of those games that I thought was going to be a blowout. I thought for sure it was going to be a blowout, and that wasn't the case. Patriots kept it close, but it came down to one play, one pass from Mac Jones, and the receiver who caught it was didn't have, I believe, you know, both feet in bounds when he caught it. So, and that basically ended that game. That basically, like I said, decided the game. And because if the Patriots got the first down there, they probably, you know, I think they probably would have won it. Like, I think they would have gotten the touchdown. That would have been the end of that. But they didn't. And the Eagles came away with the week one win in Foxborough. Anyway, week two, any big surprises? Let's see. I'm going to be honest. Oh, actually, this isn't even a week two. This could qualify as just a surprise through the first 2 weeks. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 2-0 with Baker Mayfield as quarterback. Yeah, think about that. Think about that for a second. I'll let that settle in. Yeah. The Buccaneers, 2-0 with Baker Mayfield as quarterback. Didn't see that one coming either. Anyway, any other surprises from week two? The Browns-Steelers game, that was sloppy football. If I'm going to be honest with you, on both sides, it was sloppy football. And focusing on the Steelers for a second, I know it's a little early, but Kenny Pickett does not look good. And I'm sorry if you're a Steelers fan and, you know, you're a big Kenny Pickett guy, but you cannot tell me he is going to be an elite quarterback right now. You just can't tell me. You can't tell me that. But at the same time, it also doesn't help when you have Matt Canada as your offensive coordinator. That doesn't help either, because I'm going to be honest. And this is another thing. And from that game, I saw a video going around on Twitter at the Steelers game of Steelers fans chanting Fire Canada, which doesn't surprise me at all, because Steelers fans they just do not like Matt Canada, considering his tactics and all that. And I don't blame them. I absolutely don't blame them. But, yeah. Yeah. Having Matt Canada around, you know, that's just not going to help Kenny Pickett. That's not going to help the offense. But, yeah. Anyway, I think that's really it in terms of, like, you know, what I wanted to cover. Going back to that, the Steelers-Browns game, if it wasn't for the Steelers defense, the Steelers don't win that game. They don't win that game. And I know that's like pointing out the obvious, but still. Anyway, what else do we need to get into? Yes, we got to go back to last night's matchup between the Giants and the 49ers. Yeah. Well, this game was interesting for a variety of reasons, and I'm not gonna lie, it kind of started off slow. Like, it started off slow. The Giants defense, I thought, was playing. The Giants defense was playing well to start the game off, but just, you know, slowly but surely, everything unraveled. Everything completely unraveled, and it also didn't help that the, you know, Giants couldn't get anything going on offense. Did not help whatsoever. What is going on with the O-line? Like, the Giants O-line, they just haven't been able to block for shit. Like, excuse my language, but it's the truth. That Giants O-line has not been good through the first 3 weeks of the season. And you just can't tell me otherwise. It just has not, it just has not been there. And the offensive line wasn't the only problem. The defense, they cannot stop Christian McCaffrey, which in a way, how are you going to stop one of the best running backs in the game? Like, it almost kind of makes sense. They had trouble stopping him, but at the same time, something's got to give. Like, you got to make some stops. And I'm sorry, but the tackling, once the 49ers started pulling away, you know, the tackling was just terrible by the Giants defense. I mean, there were multiple points in that game where they just could not bring down either the receiver, the tight end, the running back. Like, there were multiple times where they could not bring, where the Giants defense could not bring down George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey. Just the tackling just looked so off. It just was not good. And the offense couldn't muster anything. Like, yeah, they got one touchdown, and that was Matt Breida. That was on the ground. That was a rushing touchdown. They couldn't get anything going through the air because San Francisco's that good. Like, they are that good. Like, they took away any deep pass options for Daniel Jones. Any, you know, chance for him to throw the ball deep down the field. They just took all those options away. And yeah, I mean, and the 49ers, it worked out well for the 49ers. I mean, as a Giants fan, I wasn't too confident heading into that game. But the way that game started, where it was, it was a slow game, field goals, trading field goals. It gave me the sense of false hope and, we could stay in this. We have a good chance in this game. And that quickly died out. That quickly died out after the first 49ers touchdown. First two 49ers touchdowns, I should say. But either way, yeah, my any hope that I had was quickly killed off. And honestly, I probably should have known better because the Giants, they don't have Saquon. Like, he's out for 3 weeks, I believe. He's going to be missing the next, after this week, I think it's 2 weeks. So, yeah, he's not going to be playing for a bit, but yeah, it just, this offense is completely, the Giants offense is completely different without Saquon there. And it's obvious. It is obvious to anyone who watches the Giants or is just, who just watches, or it was just obvious to anyone who watched that game. But, yeah, that was not fun. That was not fun. That was not a fun one. But yeah. Anyway, that being said, let's get back into. I was going to talk about the big surprises, or keep talking about some of the big surprises. This isn't necessarily actually, yeah, this is, I guess, a surprise. The Broncos are 0-2. Now, you think without, you would think getting rid of Nathaniel Hackett would have been the best thing possible for the Broncos, which, don't get me wrong, I still believe it is, but they just have had terrible luck. They lost both of their matchups. Week one, they lost to the Raiders by a point, and then they lose to the Commanders by two. That is tough. That is absolutely tough. And the funny part about it is That Broncos Commanders game, which if any of you saw that, that game was nuts. Especially that last play of the game where Russell Wilson threw a Hail Mary pretty much towards the end zone. It bounced around and ended up in one of his receivers and ended up in the hands of one of his receivers for a touchdown. And I thought the Broncos were going to tie it. Like, they were going to tie it. But and then that two-point conversion, just yikes. And the souls, you can hear the souls of every Broncos fan in that stadium getting crushed. Anyway, as for the biggest surprises, as for any more big surprises, honestly, that's really it. I mean, I don't really have anything else to talk about. Oh, before I get to the last part of this episode, the Packers still own the Bears. Like, this is going back to week one. The Packers still own the Bears. He's picked up right where Aaron Rodgers left. Where he left off. The Bears just, they're terrible. I mean, you can't even call the Bears mid at this point. They're just straight up terrible. And I'm going to be honest with you. Justin Fields does not look like that guy. He does not, he just is not that guy. I'm sorry, but especially if you saw his performance against the Buccaneers the following week in week two. he just does not seem to be the quarterback the Bears wanted or needed. Just hasn't looked good. But yeah, the Bears getting owned by the Packers, that's not really surprising. Can't say I'm surprised about that. Like I said before, Jordan Love picking up where Aaron Rodgers left off. But the Bears. I mean, at one point, do you make changes? Because like the Bears got decent receivers. Like, they got DJ Moore. Like, there's no reason the Bears should be like this terrible early on. Just no reason, but alas, they are. And I honestly would not be surprised if Chicago ended up moving on from Fields in a year or two, because I'm gonna be honest, I don't see him getting a major payday. Not with Chicago. And I'm sorry, but if the Bears give him a massive contract, I'm sorry, that will probably age poorly and become one of the worst contracts in the NFL today. If the Bears give him a massive extension. But I don't think that is going to happen. But that's just my opinion on the matter. I know it's early in the season, but like I said, Justin Fields just doesn't look like, just hasn't looked good. And again, whenever his contract ends, I just do not see the Bears giving him a contract. A massive contract. And if they do, like I said, it's just not going to go well. It will not go well unless he takes that next step. But so far in his career, Justin Fields hasn't looked good. That's just me. And I'm sure a lot of other people, I'm sure I'm not the only person that believes this and thinks it. But Anyway, going back to week three, let's run down the rest of the week three matchups. Falcons at Lions, Chargers at Vikings, Saints at Packers, Texans at Jaguars, Broncos at Dolphins, Titans at the Browns, Bills at the Commanders, Colts at the Ravens, Patriots at the Jets, Panthers, Seahawks, Bears, Chiefs. That's going to be a blowout. Cowboys, Cardinals. That's going to be a blowout. Steelers, Raiders. That might be an intriguing matchup. That might be an intriguing game. Eagles, Buccaneers. Who knows? That might go back and forth. Who knows? I think that'll be a good game though. And then Rams, Bengals. So a lot of that's the rest of the week three games. Obviously, I already talked about the Giants 49ers game, but yeah, there's some intriguing matchups in there for the rest of week three, and I'm pretty hyped because I have Red Zone, so I'll be able to watch all those games go at the same time. Well, obviously those at the 1 o'clock. Well, obviously those during the 1 o'clock frame, and those at the 4:05. Wow. There's only one game at the 4:05 frame. Wow, that's the Panthers Seahawks game, and then two games at the there's only two games at the 4:25 frame, and that's the Bears Chiefs and the Cowboys and Cardinals. Wow. Yeah, the majority of the games are at 1 o'clock, which I don't mind. I don't mind at all. But, yeah, football is in full swing. I'm loving it, and I'm absolutely loving it. Anyway, so for next episode, it's going to be... I'm obviously going to have my recap probably of week four. Maybe I'll do a dual recap. So I'll do like 2 weeks again. I'll do weeks three and four. And then at the same time, considering the NBA and the NHL, they're right around the corner. Those seasons are, NBA basketball's coming back, and hockey's coming back, so I'll probably preview the NBA and the NHL seasons in the next episode as well, so that dual recap will not be a full-length episode thing. It'll probably be like 10 or 15 minutes in the next episode. Obviously, because I gotta talk about hockey, I gotta talk about basketball, and with October rolling around soon, I gotta talk about the MLB playoffs, because they're starting soon, give my predictions for that. Anyway, this has been episode 72, ladies and gentlemen. It's been fun. It's great to be back recording and posting, recording, podcasting, posting, the deal. But that's it. I will catch you all in episode 73. This has been your host, LT Nasty. This has been the First Team All-Pro Podcast. And again, I will see you all in, or I hope to see you all in, for, or hope to see you all for episode 73. Alrighty. Peace.